Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's morning Bible study. My name is LaCharles and we're so glad you could join us. However, before we get into the Word, let us open up in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for today, Lord, and we just thank you that you have always been for us, Lord, and that you're always with us, Lord, wherever we go, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that we can lean upon you, Lord, that we don't have to think through situations, Lord, but that you have all the answers, Lord, and that you share them with us, Lord. Lord, we also just ask for wisdom, Lord, on how to go about our days, Lord, and how to interact with others, Lord. We just ask that you give us that wisdom, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So glad to have you with us as we dive into the Word, continuing our study of the book of James, so we can apply what is in the Word to our life, or learn how to apply what's in the Word to our life. Mm-hmm. This is the practical application side of things of this book in the New Testament, which is why the Lord is having us go over it. But we are continuing our discussion on, or in chapter 4, focusing on verses 11 and 12. So if you're joining us for the first time or rejoining us, I want to encourage you to just take a moment and pause the episode and just take the opportunity to read through that section of scripture to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right. And at this time, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you, and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, LaCharles.
I would like to begin by reading from James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Mm-hmm. And the Lord was just pointing out to me in verse 11 where it says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. Mm-hmm. He begins by talking about speaking. Most people mm-hmm. think that judging and speaking are two totally different aspects. A common phrase that we say they like to use is, I'm just saying, I'm not judging you, I'm just saying this so you can understand. That's how mm-hmm. people will think about it. They think that they can say something without entering to judgment, which is where the Lord was reminding me that what judgment truly is, and what the Lord uses judgment and how he refers to it, is speaking his desired end state in the earth. Meaning that when he judged the people during the flood, he didn't say, bang his gavel down in heaven and say, this is your fate. He spoke what he wanted to happen. It was his words that carried the power and caused the judgment to come forth. Mm-hmm. Jesus talks about that as well. He says, I did not come to judge, but if I do judge, I judge correctly. And that's where we see him able to say, you perverse generation, how long am I going to be with you? Mm-hmm. He wasn't in the literal sense of how humans think of it, judging, but he was judging their lack of faith, saying, you need to get right with God, and this is what you need to understand and to apply. And that's ultimately what is happening and occurring here. He says, do not speak evil of a brother. Do not even let something fly out of your mouth that the Lord has not said. It doesn't matter if you think you're judging or not. It's about what is coming forth, and which is goes up to verse 12 of chapter 3. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Meaning that if we're constantly speaking contrary to the word of God, how are we going to have the power and allow the Lord to use us as his vessel to declare what he wants in the earth? The prophet Isaiah didn't necessarily sit down and judge. He decreed what the Lord said. He was a mouthpiece for the Lord in the regard of he was a prophet, and said, this is what I hear the Lord telling me, so I'm going to inform you about it. And as such, he was able to judge the nations. Moses, oh, go ahead, Dad.
Let's connect some dots for some people, right? Because whose words came out of Isaiah's mouth in this example?
The Lord's.
Okay. What did Jesus say during his earthly ministry about what comes out of a person's mouth and where it originates?
From the heart?
from the heart. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them. It's what comes out. Mm-hmm. And what comes out of the abundance of the heart. So then we must understand this for our own lives, right? This is about the practical application side. What are we allowing to get in our heart? Where our heart is, there our treasure is also. So is it the word of God? Is that what we are totally dependent upon? Or is it our own flesh speaking? And whichever one is our treasure, that is what's going to come out of the person. So are we blessing? Are we bringing about the ministry the Lord gave us, which was reconciliation? Ultimately, to bring about his restoration. And by restoration, I mean make earth look exactly like it does in heaven and function just like it does in heaven. All right, wasn't that part of the Lord teaching his disciples to pray?
Yes.
Your will in heaven or on earth as it is in heaven?
Yes.
Okay, so then how, we can't do that by our flesh. It can only be done by and through the word of the Lord.
Yes, Dad. And I'm glad that you brought that up, Dad. And understanding that while we're speaking the word of God, and as we're doing it, it's also rightly applying it as well. Jesus didn't give all his sermons at one time. Uh-huh. He said, the Lord told him, this is what I want you to speak in this moment. He didn't have a repository of, Lord, I'm going to choose what you said in the past to apply it here. Which is where humans fall in. We think, Lord, you said this beforehand, so I can say it now because you said this, which is incorrect. It's about what the Lord's saying in that moment for that specific situation. And the Lord had to remind me of that multiple times. I would say, Lord, you told me this, Lord. So of course I'm going to say it. And the Lord said, I did not have for you to say it right now, which is just as wrong as not as saying the opposite of what the Lord's saying. Mm-hmm. Because we see that multiple times when in the Bible, where I'll give the example of when Elisha was listening to what the king was saying, the king of Syria was saying in his bedroom. If he had said it 5 years earlier or 5 years later, it would not have worked. He had to say it in the moment to see the result that the Lord wanted to have. Mm-hmm. And we need to understand that in our actions and in our words, we are saying what the Lord says, and as such, we are judging. Like it said, Moses is going to judge you in the judgment. Moses is not going to have his own stand, and people are going to line up before him. He's going to say, the Lord told me what to tell you, and you are accountable for such. The Lord's words are judging you. Like David said, the Lord judged between me and you. I'm not going to judge you. The Lord is going to judge us. And he was just allowing himself to be a vessel to come through. Like a police officer, they don't necessarily judge the criminal. They just allow themselves to be used to bring to justice those who did said action.
Hmm. Amen. I like the way you connected the chapter 4 back with chapter 3, where it's talking about speaking evil. Because as you said, darling, that it was something that was formulated in the heart and then released through the mouth. So as we're considering this, it means we've come to our own conclusion and then... Right. We've established our own thoughts and ideas in our own heart. We've come to our own opinion, if you will. And then we release it out of our mouth as though it's something to hold someone accountable to. So there has been a conclusion made. And what the Lord is saying is your conclusion is irrelevant about someone else. The conclusion that you should make is that you need Jesus and you must rely upon him desperately every day as your daily bread and your life source, and you should not depart from him. That's the conclusion that matters. But your conclusion about someone else, and then you render judgment and you release it by speaking, right? That's where the problem comes in. As you were talking about judging, and the Lord talks about Noah condemning or sentencing the people around him. It wasn't by his actions. I'm sorry, it wasn't by his words, it was by his actions that he sentenced them. And that's what the Lord said was righteous judgment, because he just did what God told him to do. He didn't stand out there pointing in their faces, because there's no way he would have gotten that ark built. And it took him long enough already if he was out there pointing his finger at somebody's nose. The judgment came through when he got in the boat, when he obeyed step by step what the Lord said and got into the boat. And that's what's going to stand concerning Moses, not Moses' words, because as you said, the words weren't his own. He was just a conduit for the Lord to work through him. And so we have to understand that point as well, being a vessel that the Lord flows through versus us generating our own ideas and then dispersing them and our opinions as though they matter, as though they're the same or equal or relevant to the Lord. You know, I'm going to tell you, there are many times that the Lord had to show me a picture of myself where he was sitting on his throne in heaven and I was back in my key strip to sit down on his throne. And he was like, excuse me, can you get out of my way? I was like, oh, okay. You said that I'm a joint heir with you. I'm not here instead of you. I'm not here in place of you. And a joint heir means you're a guest, right? We're family, but you're a guest here. And I will allow you to stand by me or be with me, be one with me, but it doesn't mean you're here instead of me, and that your self-generated ideas and opinions are equal to and just as valid as his judgment, his throne, and his ability to say this is right and it's wrong, or it's wrong, and command or demand what he wants to have come forth. I've many a time, you know, started backing myself up to get all comfortable and sit down in his chair and start trying to do his job for him. And the task that he asked me to do was being undone because I'm up here trying to do something else he didn't tell me to do. Right? He said, in love. You walk in self-control. You be obedient to do all that I've asked you to do, and I'll take care of the rest. Well, I wanted to get up there in the fancy spot. You know, I wanted to get up there with the big stuff and let everybody know what I think, and that's not right.
I love that you brought up Noah, because it's also a type and shadow concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Mm. In John 15:22, he says plainly, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Or depending on your translation, it may say they have no covering or no cloak for their sin. Jesus being our pattern and example, showed us, demonstrated to us how to walk out, live out this walk of faith before our Lord, what it's supposed to look like, both in word and in deed. So in a similar way, as you made to Noah, he wasn't just sitting there pointing the finger saying, you're so wicked and you're so evil and you need to change and repent. Although that did happen through his actions, not against the people, just being obedient to the Lord. Mm-hmm. He was demonstrating it out as a type and shadow of our pattern example, or the pattern example found and set forth in our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Mm-hmm.
Something that I wanted to share, this is going to go to verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? And first, the Lord was showing me about Job. I forgot which chapter it was and verse, but where he's talking about, okay, if two men get in a quarrel with each other, the Lord will come and deal with them. But the person gets in a quarrel with the Lord, who's going to save that man, the human being? Because obviously the Lord's going to win. He always will, and that's just how it's going to go down. But here's the mercy side of the Lord. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who knows the rules better than the one who wrote them?
Amen to that.
Yeah. When I make a game to play with, you know, LeCharles and Promise, and I create it, who knows the rules better than I do? So I can tell when someone's in violation of my rules that sometimes they changed on the spot because I wanted to win.
Okay.
which the Lord does not do.
And that the righteous right. lawgiver doesn't shift the law based on his own personal, it is one standard.
Exactly. And that was where I was going to go with it. We like to change the law to justify ourselves, to cover mm-hmm. ourselves, and to condemn someone else, when we're doing the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. It may just have a different Scooby-Doo mask on, but it's the same mm-hmm. thing. But we want to change the law so it's favorable towards us and harsh towards another. But the Lord, the one who wrote the rules, can tell when you're in violation of it or you're not. So there's the Lord's mercy right there. He's not trying to drop the anvil on somebody's head. He's not trying to crush them and wipe them off the face of the earth, because he already told us that he doesn't relish in the death of the wicked. He doesn't wish that anyone perish. He wants everybody to come to him, everybody to love on him as he's loved on them. Only not everybody chooses to take that route. But here James, the Lord through James, is outlining the so we can see some of the spiritual laws that are at work. And be, because we aren't the lawgiver, we didn't create the rule, then we can't accurately judge. Even when you play something like Monopoly, there are such a things called house rules. You make up additions or you take subtractions away from the game, but mm-hmm. it doesn't change the basis of the game. It, you don't then make your own game because you added, oh, you land on free parking, you get $500, or you go to any unowned property that you want to. It doesn't mean that the game now shifts because you added something, or you say if you land on income tax, you pay more than $200, you pay $400 because you subtracted something, doesn't now mean you've changed the game. Mommy, why are you chuckling?
Just thinking of how well versed you are in Monopoly.
Right.
So I'm yeah. just like, okay.
And and then the
better
side
become a real estate mogul.
No, the Lord called me something else.
I'm just picking on you, yes.
But to think about it that way, we wouldn't want someone to change the game on us mm-hmm. so that it's unfavorable towards us and it's like impossible to win. Mm-hmm. Nobody would enjoy that. So that's also like you go back and you read Proverbs. He who meddles in a quarrel not his own and a matter not his own is like mm-hmm. taking a strange dog by the ear. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's done that, you know you get bit. You might get scratched and some other things mm-hmm. might occur. But the outcome for the person who meddled isn't good. So us in the natural, we don't want, if we have an issue, we want to make a case to, you know, one of the courts in the land. We don't then want Joe Schmo to come and go, ah, you're guilty. And you're like, wait a minute, you don't even know what you're talking about. We want the judge, mm-hmm. the person who has the right and the authority to rule mm-hmm. in your favor or against your favor based on the other laws that have already been written. You want them to make the decision, mm-hmm. not some third party. And we want the Lord to make the decision on our case, in our behalf, not some third party. So when we are speaking evilly of one another and judging one another, we're that third party trying to judge on the case that we have no right or authority to judge on. And that's mm-hmm. stepping out of, that's leaving our abode, which is what Lucifer did in the beginning. He left the divine order. So now we're stepping into the role of the adversary. And we were never created to do that. So for mm-hmm. us, it's always about doing what God asked us to do, which is something that you and Dad and LaCharles very well laid out for the listeners, that it's about us doing what we're supposed to do, not making sure everybody else is following the Lord while we're off, you mm-hmm. know, in the sticks somewhere doing whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a, when they're your parents over your children and your children are still young and they're under your care, ensure that they follow the Lord, right? Train mm-hmm. them up in Indeed. The way that they should go. Don't neglect that because you're like, oh, they're humans. They have their own decision. No, God entrusted them to your care for you to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord and train them up to honor the Lord. But when it comes to strangers or your children are now full grown adults, your chance has left. You can still impart wisdom, you can still share, but to formally train them has expired. But then the third party outside of there, all you can do is share the word. And that's not a limitation, but I'm just saying you have to respect that they are free moral agents.
Exactly, Mommy. And something that you always tell us, going back to the Dad, you want to say something?
No, go ahead.
Finish going up. Back to what you were talking about, your children and raising them, you have the right and the authority that has been bestowed upon you to make those calls mm-hmm. and those decisions. That's why you're able to do that. And because that's within God's divine order. So you're still mm-hmm. following the rules. You're still doing what you're supposed law. To be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's legal for you to do that action. Dad, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. So something your mother brought up yesterday in the last episode, right? About don't accuse a servant before his master, because who knows if his master is able to make him stand, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So, for us, how is the Lord able to make us stand?
Oh, he's got a myriad
absolutely,
of ways.
Right, absolutely. But part of what we're talking about is the law. And Jesus came, Yeshua, and he showed us, lived out his life here on earth as a pattern and example, his earthly ministry, right? Mm-hmm. Showing us, demonstrating to us how to not abolish the law, as you were bringing up in your examples, and changing and the rules and the laws of the game, mm-hmm. right? And all that. No, Jesus doesn't do that. He said, I came to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, then our role also is to fulfill, but and I say that because Jesus showed us how to do it. And at the core, mm-hmm. say what the Father says to say. Do what the Father is doing. Mm-hmm. Nothing more, nothing less. But We, for our part, that has to come out of us, out of our heart. That has to be, he has to be our treasure. Mm-hmm. He is the word of God, right? So, so he, his word, has to be our treasure, that pearl of great price that we put value on above any and everything else.
And how he wants things done has to be at the same time.
Carried out.
A treasure to us, because we're aware that he has got a what and a way and a when and a how. He's got all that together.
Amen. All right. Well, there's a lot there, so we're going to pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, LaCharles.
Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you have written these scriptures for us, Lord, and that you have provided wisdom and knowledge for us, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that you have given us a way forward, Lord, a way that we can apply your word, Lord, and that we can apply it correctly, Lord. Lord, we also just thank you, Lord, that you are the judge and that there is no one who is able to condemn us, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that we can enter into what you have called us to do, Lord, and to become a vessel that you can use in the earth, Lord, to further your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.